You turn with me to Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. Genesis chapter 32. And we will be reading verse number 23. And it reads, "And he," talking about Jacob, "he took his family that he had assembled and sent them over the brook and sent over that he had." Now, and Jacob, he was alone. He was by himself. "And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he," the man, "saw that he prevailed not over Jacob, he just gently touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of his thigh, it came out of socket. And he wrestled with him, as he wrestled with him. And he said," talking about the man said, "let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "Jacob, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." And he," the man, said, "what is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." And he said, "the man, thy name shall not be called no more Jacob, but Israel. As a prince hast thou power with God and with man, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "tell me, I pray thee, your name." And he said, "wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed there. He blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, "for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." The title of this sermon is Wrestling with God. This whole time he was tussling, wrestling to daybreak with God, and he didn't even know. The whole time. You know, sometimes our wills are so strong, we figure we're doing our thing. We all right. I'm a Christian. I'm going to do it like the way I do it. But what if your will and God's will don't coexist together? It could be that you are wrestling with God. You could be wrestling with God. Sometimes we pray, "Lord, let your will be done. Everything we've done today, I hope it's done according to your will." Well, how do you know that? What if it's not? The only way to know God's will is by the word of God. You remember Paul? Paul said in Acts chapter 27 and verse number 9, "I thought within myself, I do all the things I'm doing contrary to the name of Jesus." See, he thought he was doing God's will. He thought he was doing what he was supposed to do in the name of religion. But the whole time he was wrestling against God. Some of us today, we think we're doing God's will right now as Christians. It could be that we are wrestling with God. And if you wrestle with God, you're going to end up broke. Now, let's look at the text again. Genesis chapter 32, verse number 24. "So, and Jacob, he was left alone, and he was wrestling until the breaking of the day." He was tussling. He had him. He was playing no games with this man. See, sometimes we figure we have confidence in our own way. I got this. We'll do our Christian works according to how we want to do it. We'll treat our fellow man and fellow brothers the way we want to treat them. And we think we're doing it in the name of religion, but we could be wrestling with God. One thing God did say, "if you want to know my will, just study the word. Study to show yourself approved." That's how we know we're doing God's will, studying. You don't have to ask questions when you know God's will yourself. You ain't got to worry about no preacher telling you God's will. You know it. Study to show yourself approved. Some of us say, "well, I don't need to study no more. I already got my degree." Study for what? I got my degree. I'm good. I put all my work in. God's word is spiritual food. Peter said, "desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby." Jesus said, "my word, my meat, my flesh is meat indeed." Study the show. Listen, it could be milk, it could be meat, but it's still food. Some of us are spiritually, right now, Chris, I'm talking about us, some of us are spiritually malnourished. We're spiritually malnourished. I have never seen in my little bit of life a strong Christian that's ignorant of the word of God. Never seen it. Now, I've seen strong churchgoers, been there 30, 45 years, but you will never see a strong Christian ignorant of the word of God. When those times come or trials affect them, they're not willing to cuss God and die. Like they, like Job, they know, look, though the Lord slay me, I'm still going to trust in them. I've never seen a strong Christian ignore the word of God. See, but we think we are doing God's will when we could be wrestling with God. As a matter of fact, some people say, well, I try to read the word of God. I try to read it, thou and thus and thee, and it's I can't read it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a man, his first time puffing on a cigarette? First time he puffed on it, he coughing and throwing up, but somehow he stick with it. He stick with it, and over time, this man got a cigarette in his mouth, he can talk with it, he got a cigarette hanging out, he can do things with it. See, if you stick with the word of God, eventually you're going to get used to it. Just stick with it. Study, that's food. You need to eat. I ain't never seen a man that didn't never eat. You gotta eat. Your inner man need to be renewed day by day. Study daily to show yourself approved. And that's how you know you're doing the will of God. Some of us feel like we'll do it our way. I don't gotta study. I come out here, Brother Dismond preach. That's all I need. That's my shot in the arm, people say. That's my shot in the arm. Well, when you don't study, you go into this spiritual sunken place where you surrounded, your inner man, you still shaking hands, but your inner man is in this sunken place and there is no light. So you become angry. You mad at the world for everything. You mad at your brothers and sisters in Christ. You're just mad. You're full of hatred. You're full of strife. You're ready to fight. You're ready to do something to somebody. You wish somebody would. I wish somebody would. See, but that comes from not studying. You're in a spiritual sunken place. And we wonder why we have these inner conflicts, hatred, and just questioning God and all these things when we're not even fed. It's just like a homeless man. You look at him, he's malnourished. Sometimes our inner man is homely and homeless. The outward man looks good, though. Listen, the word teaches us. You need the word. It teaches us how to live. Let us turn to Romans chapter 12. See, I'm not going to quote. Let's read this so we can understand what the word does. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and 2. The scripture says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, not a dead sacrifice. Living. You know, back in the day in Moses' time, there were dead sacrifices they offer up to God. God wants you to offer up yourself. You a living sacrifice for me. I want you to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. And that's your logical, that's your reasonable service for all the things Jesus did for you. And be not conformed to this world, connected with them. Some of us so into the worldly events. Be not connected with the world. But be ye transformed from the world by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. People look at you and they can see, oh man, that's a Christian. That's what God wants us to do. Okay, on the job, he wants to be on time. You know, he wants to treat our fellow co-workers like with love. No ill will toward nobody. People can see God in you. You will prove that good and that acceptable and that perfect will of God. God will that all men be saved and be like a Christian. You prove that. Okay? Sometimes we're so conformed to the world, we're starting to dress like them. We're starting to look like them. Starting to do the things they do. We're starting to, you know, social drinking. We hold hands with the world. We joining their social groups. We connected with them. We traveling with them. But we don't do those things with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Not knowing that we thinking we're doing God's will. We come to church every Sunday, but that's just the meeting place. The church, the things that we do outside is the works. We come here, you're supposed to come here. That's good. But the work is done outside of here. Going ye out into the world. That's what the work is done. But we think we're doing God's will. We could be wrestling with God. Verse number 3. For I say, through the grace of God given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself so highly as he ought to think. See, we think we so this and so that. We think that we I got you, what I'm going to do, I'm a job, I did this. Yeah, I'm getting ready to do this. Sometimes we make plans and God laugh. Look, he said he going to do what? He making plans. He going to do that, right? God laughing. We making plans, like we're going to do this, we're going to do that. Yeah, I'm getting ready to do this and that. You never know what's coming your way. God laughing. He really going to make plans? Jacob was struggling with God until the breaking of the day, not even knowing he wrestling God. And then, you know what happened? He wrestling with God and tussling, fighting, trying to prevail over God. Trying to do it his way. See, we as Christians, there are some things that we do by our own will that's wrestling with God. As a matter of fact, let me show you. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22. Ephesians 5. So I'm going to show you how sometimes we wrestle with God. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 22. Now, the scripture says, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. Now, is that a problem? See, you submit yourself to your husband because you respect his position. Now, I don't have no problem my boss telling me, submitting to him, yes, sir, boss, yes, sir, because I respect his position. Now, in my house, he can't talk to me like that. See, but the Bible says, submit yourself to your own husband. Look, you the one chose him, right? Oh, I'm sorry, your marriage must be arranged. Oh, so you chose this man, so you chose him to your own husband. Submit to him then. That's the scripture. See, but some women, I'm not trying to be hard on women, but some of us feel like we can do it our way. I ain't got to listen to no man. Well, maybe you're wrestling with God. You might be wrestling with God. Don't even know it. I'm doing it my way. I'm doing it the way I ain't. You got me messed up. I wish he would tell me. Well, this is the way God said do it. You are wrestling with God. And then he said, as unto the Lord. Look, if I'm a woman, I'm going to love my husband because God told me to. As unto the Lord. I'm married to my husband. I'm going to respect him as unto the Lord because I know God is watching. I don't want to wrestle with God. Amen. I respect his position. Now, if I fail to, as a woman, if I fail and disrespecting my husband, I'm wrestling with God. All right, let's keep reading. I'm getting a little quiet, but it's okay. I mean, this is just the truth. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husband everything. Now, husbands, love your wife. Now, I'm not an expert at this, but it's the truth. I, as a man, as a husband, must love my wife. As Christ, well, say, love your wife, even as Christ loved the church. I must care about her. I must show respect for her. I'm not an expert. I'm learning. I'm trying to let this mind be in me that was in Christ, Philippians 2:5. I need to show her love. I need to care about her. Love her as Christ loved the church. I need to be forgiven like Christ is forgiven to the church. I need to be willing to lay my life down for her. I need to support her in all things. All right, let's keep reading. Love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That Christ, he might sanctify and cleanse it. I need to make sure she's doing right physically and emotionally. I need to make sure that I'm taking care of her. It's my job. That's my job. That's my role. See, it's more to a man's role than they say it to the wives. I need to make sure she's doing okay. I need to make sure she's having a good day. I need to make sure that I'm doing what I'm got to do to take care of her physically. Making sure her needs are met physically. Making sure she's sheltered and taken care of. Making sure she's not missing meals. Let's keep reading. Love your wife, even as Christ loved the church, he washed and presents, that he may, verse number 27, present unto himself a glorious church, not having spots or wrinkles, any such things, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, verse number 28. So ought the men all to love their wives as their own body. Have you ever seen a man cut his finger? He cut his finger, started bleeding. He grabbed it, he don't want no blood to waste. He started sucking on the blood. Like, he want to make sure he got to find a Band-Aid. I have to love my wife the same way. I have to understand what makes her hurt. I have to understand that my wife, I had to understand, okay, there's abundance I came from. I can't say certain things. I got to dwell with her according to knowledge. There's some things I can't say to her because I know that's gonna make her explode. So I have to understand. I got to kind of rearrange what I say to make sure that it don't affect her because I know her. Love her as herself. I have to love her as my own self, like I love my body. So that means I know she likes vacations. I go on vacation all the time. I love them. I love them like myself. So I got to make sure I take her because I'm going to treat her like I would treat myself. I got to take her with me. She got dreams. She got goals. I got to support her goals just like I got goals. I want to make sure her goals are supported. I got to love her like I love myself. I want to eat every day. I got to make sure, you know, I can't just say what I want to do. Like, you sit down, woman, do this and then do what I tell you to do. I don't want my boss talking to me like that. I got to love her like I love myself. I don't want to talk to my boss talking to me like that, so I'm not going to talk to her like that. I'm going to love her as I love myself. And if I don't do that, I'm wrestling with God. Amen. And my wife looking at me like, you sure live. If I don't do that, I'm wrestling with God. And don't even know it. Now let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 3. Now there are some time, either men or women, we figure like, well, this is my body. I can do what I want to do with my body. Not tonight. Not tonight. I don't know who you think you is. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse number 3. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence. I don't have to explain what that word means. Due is due. Due benevolence. And likewise also the wives unto the husband. See, the wives have not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise, the husband has not power of his own body. It's a two-way street here. The husband don't got power of his own body. The scripture said, defraud ye not one another. Do not withhold from one another. And then the scripture says, except it be for consent of time. Now, there might be a situation where like, babe, yeah, let's take a break, whatever, how long, a week, whatever. It has to be a consent of time, but Paul goes even further. He said, well, there's something you got to do in that consent of time. He said, give yourself unto fasting and praying. So while you do this consent of time, you got to fast along with it. You said a week? Okay, we can't eat for a week. You said a week, right? We can't eat for a week. Why, Paul? Why do that? He said fast along there because, what did he say? He said, and then come again together, that Satan tempt you not for your inconsistency. See, I have to fast because I will be in the world if my wife is kind of, I mean, it could be either way. If she's withholding, I got to go around all these women. And I have this desire that is not being satisfied. And I'm around these women. It's kind of like the devil can trick me and lure me into something that don't have no business being in. But if I'm fasting, I'm focused on food. I'm not focused on physical needs. I'm focusing on food. My wife, the same thing. She's focusing on food. But if we are full, we have the other desire that's not being met. It's a possibility that I can sin. So he said, if you're going to hold out from each other, make sure you fast along with it. Isn't that wisdom? That's wisdom. See, that's the way God say do it. And if I don't do it that way, I'm fighting and wrestling with God. Amen. I'm wrestling with him. I'm putting my wife in danger. See, somebody might throw something slick in her ear and that could draw her attention. And she's halfway in, you know, she still got the ear. Or it could be me the same way. See, Christ and Paul don't want this stuff going on in the church. We have men that are committing fornication and cheating and leaving their wives and husbands because of these issues. Amen. Women holding out on their man. Men holding out on their women. We wonder why they divorce because of issues like that. Then we blame them like it's their fault. It's not their fault. You wrestling with God. Amen. You ain't doing it according to what the Bible say do it. That's truth. It could be that we are wrestling with God. Well, let's go back to our reading. Genesis chapter 32, verse number 25. Genesis chapter 32, verse number 25. So Jacob is wrestling and he's tussling. He tussling with this with God. And then God saw that he didn't prevail not against Jacob. All God did was touch his little rib, his little waist, and his bone came out of socket. See, God will sit you down. You can wrestle with him all you want. He'll sit you down. All he did was touch him. He will see, but you remember Paul when he persecuted the church? When he persecuted, he consented to the death of Stephen. He went above measure persecuting the church, going to Damascus trying to get letters so that he can haul off women and men to jail, running up in their houses. He was bold with it. But guess what? God set him down. Struck him blind. He was on his knees praying, Lord, God will sit us down if we do our own will and not his will. See, if you fight against God, he's going to set you down. He's going to set you down. And Paul, he reaped what he sowed too, because he was persecuted the same way he was persecuting the church. He was beaten and he was left for dead. Paul was beheaded. According to the theologians, the Bible scholars, he was beheaded after that. So he reaped what he sowed. We can't just go on sinning and think we're not going to get set down, thinking God ain't going to say nothing about it. Acts chapter 17, verse number 30, at this time, ignorance God winked at, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. See, you stacking up sins and thinking God ain't going to do nothing about it. God winked at it before, but now he commanded everybody to repent. See, we could be fighting against God. 1 Peter 1:17, if he called on the Father who was not respect a person, judge according to every man's work, pass this time of sojourning or living here on earth with fear. You cannot fight against God. You will always get broke. Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 31, it's a fearful thing, or it's a terrible thing to fall into the hands of the Lord. You don't want to fight against God. Remember Paul, he was so blind that another man had to lead him. See, you think you're doing something. You think you're exalted, but God will sit you down. Look, the scripture in Psalms chapter 16, verse 18. I'm sorry, Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18. Pride come before destruction, and a haughty spirit or an arrogant attitude before a fall. Yeah, you stand up now, you will fall. Pride come first. You see that pride? Get ready for the fall. It's coming. A haughty spirit before a fall. Luke chapter 14, verse number 11. He that exalts himself, you shall be abased. See, my question is, why does God have to chasten us? Why do he have to chastise us for us to do right? Why do he have to sit us down for why we can't just do right naturally? Why we can't just be children of God, glorifying his name? Why we can't just do right naturally? Israel, it took them 70 years of captivity, Babylonian captivity, to do right. Why we can't just do right? Let's go back to our reading. Genesis chapter 32, verse number 26. And he said, now after God touched him on that hip and the hip came out of joint, and God said, look, let me go for the day break it. I ain't got time to be wrestling and tussling with you. And Jacob said, I will not let you go except you bless me. See, Jacob knew. He was tussling at first. Now he's hanging on with a different grip. He's hanging on for dear life now. His hip is all out of place. He said, he know this got to be God. This man just tapped me on my shoulder. My hip and my bone came out of place. See, God will humble you. See, but we need to be like Jacob. Jacob said, I will not let you go. We need to hold on to God's unchanging hand. We need to hold on to his unchanging hand. He will bless us. See, sometimes we got to get broken in order for us to pray. Sometimes when you have a situation in your life, that's when you do all your praying. Oh, Lord, I'm on bending knees. Oh, the storm, Lord, that's the only time we pray. And when things are good, we ain't got time for God. See, now that his hip is broken, he's leaning on the Lord, asking for a blessing. Israel was in slavery. They were crying out to God, God, God. But then when Moses delivered them, they was complaining again. When Paul was blind, he was on the ground 3 days. We need to be like Paul. When he got up and he knew. He went this direction. He said, never look back again. Sometimes it takes us to get in a situation where it's out of our control for us to finally start back praying. I hope I ain't being too hard on y'all. See, when we wrestle with God, you're going to end up broken. See, when we wrestle with God, we end up crying. The tears starting to flow. We wrestling with God, we end up with depression. We got to take medication and things like that. When you're wrestling with God, your family end up broken up when you're wrestling with God, when you're not doing the things according to the Bible. When you're wrestling with God, your life just falls apart. Your hips come out of joint. But we got to hold on to God just like Jacob. Jacob knew he was hopeless. He held on for dear life. He realized this is not just a man, this is God. He said, I will not go. I will not let go. I will hold on for dear life. Bless me. See, we need to start wrestling with God and do his will. We need to do that. I remember Jesus told Paul in Acts chapter 9, Paul said, who art thou, Lord? Who art thou? He said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Who are you persecuting? The next thing Paul said was, what will you have me to do? I'm putting my will down. What will you have me to do? What will you have me to do? He said, it'll be told you what you need to do. We need to have that Paul mentality to do God's will. Whatever he have us to do. Whatever your arms find, your hands find to do, do it with all your might. We need to understand that we are Christians in this world. We need to study so we can be fed. Like I was telling the brothers earlier, somebody might hit us with a rocket or Russia might bomb us. What are we going to do? We're going to scatter? We need to have strong Christians that's going to stand up no matter what circumstances the world have us in. We ready to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ because it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Now, you don't have it in your body. You don't have it in your soul. You're just as hopeless as he was, hanging on to God, asking for help. See, when you have God in your system, just like Job said, though I'm dead, though God slay me, I'm trusting in him no matter what. We need to have that mentality to go in this field and fight, armored up just like Ephesians chapter 6. We got all the armor that we have on. The shield of faith, because we know darts and things from the devil are going to be coming. We got a sword ready to swing just in case somebody run up on us. Some of us don't have no armor. So we just run out there. Run out there butt naked, spiritually. The devil's attacking us on every side. We hopeless, we helpless, we mad at the world, taking it out on the elders, taking it out on the brothers and sisters in the church, because we are fighting and wrestling against God. I pray that there's no one here wrestling against God. I pray that we all have the mind just like Jacob, the mind just like Paul, to lay down our will and pick up God's will. Understand his will. The only way to know it, you got to read it. You got to understand it. I know it takes a lot to read the Bible sometimes, but just read it. I'm telling you, it'll be the best thing that ever happened to your life. It'll be the most soothing thing. It'll be the best read. It'll be like reader's choice. Like, you know, it'll be better than the Oprah's book club. And I find that most of those books got some kind of reference of the Bible in them. You want the five, well, we was reading the book with my wife, The Five Love Languages. They were talking about number of scriptures. I'm like, I might as well pull the Bible out. He didn't mention nothing but scripture, but he's making millions of dollars on it because people don't want to open up the word. If you're not a Christian, you can be. You can come now and give your life to God. Repent for your sins. You hear the gospel, believe the gospel, repent. Confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a Christian that needs a little help, want to restart, regenerate yourself, for the year get started, you can come right now. Ask God to forgive you. God will hold your hand along this journey called life. You can come now while together we stand and sing.